And let us turn in our Bibles to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. I'm going to read together the whole of the psalm as our text, as our scripture reading this morning. Looking at it as our text, as I said, as well. So let us hear together the word of Almighty God. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and heard my cry, and brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside the lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wondrous works which thou hast done, and thy thought which are to us word. They cannot be reckoned up in order upon thee, unto thee, for if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou did not desire. Mine ears thou hast opened, burnt offerings and sin offering hast thou not required. Then I said, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold about me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those who seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Amen. Thus far the reading of God's word. May He add His blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we open God's word this morning, we have before us a psalm. Excuse me. A psalm, as the psalmist says, who is in a horrible pit, in miry clay. And yet, he waits patiently for the Lord, and the Lord hears, and the Lord converts, and puts a new song in his mouth, gives a new heart, gives salvation. We need to understand something. It is by God's grace that He changes our hearts. As we've looked at already this morning, it is not on account of how good we are, but it is on account of God's mercy, His grace, His undeserved favor that He grants to us salvation. And so as we look at this passage of God's Word, we see the right response to God giving us salvation. God, having changed our hearts, having given us salvation, He gives us a new song. The new song of salvation. What is that song? Well, the psalmist says, I have not. I have not hidden your works. I have spoken, proclaimed your good news of your righteousness It's to speak out. It's to tell of what God has done for this miserable sinner. That is the response of thanksgiving. To give glory. To give honor to our great God, to our gracious Savior. And so as we look at this passage, the theme that we want to see is God changes His people's hearts, giving them the new song of salvation to sing. God changes His people's hearts, giving them the new song of salvation to sing. In verses 1 through 5, we see the blessing for the one who trusts in God. In verses 6 through 10, we see that we are to proclaim the truth of God's mercy. And in verses 11 through 17, we see that we are to trust in the Lord for defense from our enemies. So first of all, blessing for the one who trusts in God. God changes His people's hearts, giving them the new song of salvation to sing. Blessing for the one who trusts in God. Our heart, our cries are heard by the Lord. The psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to hear to me and heard my cry. God hears us. Brothers and sisters, this is the headline, the wonder to start out with. And that we who are sinners, who, as I've said already many times, had joined Satan in rebellion against God, we, God hears. He hears us. Psalm 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. God calls us to wait on Him. Not to run ahead, not to say, I'm going to do it my way. We are to wait on Him. And He hears us, and He will provide us. He lifted me out of the horrible pit, out of sin, out of the just judgment which I deserve. God is a gracious God, saving sinners, not saving the righteous. Jesus said very clearly, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If we think we're righteous, we've got another thing coming. That's not good. He set my feet on solid ground. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear. Our response to God's salvation must be thanksgiving, must be praise. As we said, the new song of salvation, which as we said, involves telling, proclaiming what God has done for us. Isaiah 42 verse 10, sing to the Lord a new song and His praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you coastlands and inhabitants of it, all the world is to sing the glory of our great God and of what He has done for us. Others will see God's salvation and fear Him. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Many will see our salvation. And how do they see our salvation? If we're doing our absolute best to live just like the world so nobody looks at us funny. As I've said so many times, we don't have to go out and wear a billboard that says, hey, I'm a Christian. Paul writes to the Philippians, but all you have to do is live an honest Christian life. And we're going to shine as stars in this crooked and perverse generation. Because the world around us, and you know it as well as I do, probably more so than I do, is so crooked and perverse every which way, that when we're honest, when we stand on God's commandments instead of saying, well, whatever the law says is okay, I can do that. I'm sorry. Just because the United States law, the North Dakota Century Code or whatever it is, says this is okay, does not mean it's the right thing to do. The right thing is obedience to God's laws. in all situations. The Old Testament is there to show us how that works out so many times. It's worth reading. It's fun to read too, by the way. God's laws. Others will see that we're changed. That we don't live like them. That we're not willing to jump into the mud, into the clay, and wallow in it like the world around us. And one of the things that's going to do is that's going to make them fear. Because every human being knows in their heart of hearts there's a judgment coming. Every human being knows in their heart of hearts that this world is not the end of it, that death is not the last word, as it were. That there is an eternal judgment coming. And so when we live like true Christians, others are going to see it, they're going to fear. People don't like fearing, by the way. And that's why one of the reasons that Christians can expect persecution. You think you're good. You think you're too good. No. If honesty be, and we need to be ready and willing to say that, by the way, too often we just like that whitewash brush that says, I'm good. I'm a good little Christian. We as Christians need to be willing to own up and say, no, I'm a rotten, stinking sinner. Just as bad as anybody else. Probably worse. But it's by God's grace that He saves me. Think of that point of contact. Every human being has this fear of judgment. But by the grace of God, not because of what I am and what I do, but God has given me the free salvation. Others will see God's salvation and fear and turn to Him. How wondrous it is, how free it is, the salvation God has given to us. The wondrous works of God cannot even begin to be recounted, which He does for us. You got to think about that for a second. We're talking about God who created all the world, all the universe. We're talking about God who upholds all things. Despite our sin, despite the very fact that man continues in sin and in rebellion against God, He upholds this world. And He upholds every one of us. Despite the fact that we are rebellious sinners who each and every day increase our guilt, increase what would be His just and righteous wrath against us. Oh, but wait, He punished His Son for that. God, whom we offended, who had every right, immediately when Adam and Eve sinned, to just get rid of it. Send them to hell and that would be the end of it. But God is merciful, God is gracious. And the wondrous works and the things that He does for us cannot begin to be recounted. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. This is what we've been seeing in the Psalms so much recently. We're not to trust in a crowd or in lies and earthly things. We're to trust in God. To consider the multitude of God's works. We have to think about that sometimes. Sometimes it's so easy for us to think, to be so stuck in the mundane. In everyday things, world things. What do I do today? What do I do tomorrow? What do I do to the next day? And the treadmill that becomes. And we've got to look outside of it. And we've got to say, Lord, what have You done? And stand in awe when we're in the field at what we have in front of us that God has given to us to use. To look at this world and the marvel of the things God has given us in so many ways. The wondrous works of God cannot be recounted. Exodus 15:11. Who is like You, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like You, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wondrous? God's thoughts toward us are too many to be numbered. So we need to proclaim something. We need to open our mouths. We need to proclaim the truth of God's mercy. Notice, that's what where the psalmist goes with this. He doesn't proclaim so many of the other things he might proclaim about God. God is not just only mercy. He is just. He is, you know, so many of his attributes. He proclaims God's mercy. And every one of us in this whole world needs this. They need to know God's just judgment. And then, as the bright light shining into the darkness, the wonder of his mercy saving sinners. God does not delight in offerings. Sacrifices and offerings don't save us. The writer of the Hebrews quotes this in Hebrews 10:5-9. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have no pleasure. The burnt offerings, sin offerings, were unprofitable. They're not going to save us. We could give everything we have on this earth to the church. It's not going to save us. The only salvation we have is in Jesus Christ. We read in Hebrews 9:9, it was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. Even the commanded offerings of the Old Testament didn't save anybody. They only pointed to Jesus Christ, to his perfect sacrifice. And so, instead of sacrifice and offering to save us, we come to the Lord for grace. Behold, I come, in the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, in your laws within my heart. Not coming and saying, well, look at God, look how good I am. But say, it's your grace. It is your divine choice. In the scroll of the book that is written on me, the book of life, is what's being referred to there. And we read about, as we've been studying in Revelation in our Bible study, the righteousness which God gives to sinners. Not my righteousness. We are to proclaim God's righteousness. And so we are to delight to do His will. I delight, verse 8, to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Jesus said, John 4:34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me to finish his work. We are to follow after Christ. We're not to live in this world and say, well, I can do whatever I want to. You've heard me talk about that already this morning. We need to, out of thanksgiving to God, give glory to him in living according to his commandments out of thanksgiving. And so we're not to hide God's righteousness. I have proclaimed the gospel, verse 9. The righteousness which God gives to sinners. I have proclaimed it. God knows this, he says. I have not concealed it. If we truly know the wonder of God's salvation, we're not going to say, well, I don't want to talk about that. If we truly understand the wonder of what God has done for us, in saving miserable sinners deserving of his judgment, we can't be quiet about it. As we said a couple of weeks ago, it's going to burst out of us. It has to. You know, Reformed preachers get a lot of flack for preaching sin. But if we don't know how bad it really is, we're never going to realize the wonder of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Remember that God's loving kindness, as we read about here, speaks about God's covenant faithfulness. And we're under, as we read in the confession this morning, the covenant of grace. Not under the covenant of works, saying, God, I give you these works, you give me salvation. I can't. There's no works to give. No. Under the covenant of grace, God made a covenant of Himself that He was going to send His Son, that Christ was going to pay the penalty for sinners. And He did it. He fulfilled it. That's the covenant of grace. The covenant of undeserved grace. And so we're to trust in the Lord. Not in the things of this world, not in people. We are to rely on God's mercy in the midst of iniquities. My number one enemy is myself. That's what he says here. It's not everybody else. It's me. My sins. Psalm 38, verse 4, my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. And so we need to pray that God would not withhold His tender mercies from us. To trust in His covenant faithfulness and truth. Not in my works, but in God's covenant faithfulness. He says, verse 12, innumerable evils have surrounded me. Where did they come from? Was this because of all the rotten people around? No, this was because of one rotten apple. Himself. Me. They're mine. I'm not able to look up because of them. They're more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails because of my sins. And brothers and sisters, this is how it should be from a certain perspective. When I, knowing what Christ has paid, in the penalty for my sins, knowing that God has called me to live a righteous life, ignore that and say, oh well, I'm going to do it my way because I think this is better. This is what I'm saying. When I do that, I better have my heart fail. I better say, who am I to make that choice? God says, do this. And I say, you know what, God, stop it. My heart better fail. We need to rely on God's mercies. God delivers from and overthrows our true enemies. We are to trust in God's deliverance. Verse 13. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. But more than that, we are to trust in God to overthrow. Bringing them to shame, to confusion. Driving them backward, brought to dishonor. Guess what? Some of this applies to my own sinfulness. That needs to be overthrown, to be destroyed by the grace of God. Psalm 71, verse 13, let them be confounded and consumed who are my adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my hurt. Let them be confounded, verse 15, in their shame. Who seek things to point to the evil. So much in this world is pushing toward evil. It's not like this is new. We need to realize that. So often we think, well, it's the worst time ever now. Worst thing that has ever happened in the history of the world. Evil continues. It's not more or less, really, over time that much. We live in a sinful world. I don't have to look for conspiracy theories. There's one big conspiracy. It's called Satan. Trying to bring as many people to hell with him as he can. He's doing a pretty good job of it. People aren't that smart. People aren't smart enough to do all the things the conspiracy theorists come up with. I'm sorry. We need to give glory to God. We need to trust in Him. Psalm 34:21, evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate righteousness shall be condemned. We talked about that. We don't need to worry about it. God's going to take care of it. He's going to judge. And His judgment is perfect. But, brothers and sisters, where do I come in on this? Where do we come in on this? We're poor and needy. We're to rejoice in God. We are to give glory to Him. Let those who seek you, verse 16, rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. We're here to give glory to God for what He has done for us. Even despite my unworthiness, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks on me. Brothers and sisters, the comfort in that verse there is awesome. I am poor and needy. Now, I don't come to God saying, look how good I am. I don't come to God saying, I have this big check I can put in the collection plate. I did X, Y, Z, A, B, C this past week. Grossman's got a lot of notches. No. I come to God poor. Every one of us does. I come to God needy. Every one of us does, and He hears. He provides more than we could ever ask. He gives us that new song of salvation. We rely on Him. We can trust in His deliverance in all things, in His provision. Not only does the Lord hear our prayers, He thinks on us more than we can ever begin to think. We're not on our own here on this earth. So often we think so. He gives us the church to help us along. But far more than that, He never leaves us or forsakes us. He thinks on us more than we can even think. Amen. Let us rise. Let us sing together. Find the right bulletin here. Well, we'll rise and we'll pray a prayer of application. And then we'll have the installation of officers. So let us rise, bow before God in prayer. Getting ahead of myself. That's what's going on. Let us pray. Our merciful, our gracious Heavenly Father, we stand before You poor and needy. We pray, O Lord, that we might not only realize how poor and needy we really are, but that by Your grace we would realize the wonder, the awe of Your grace, of Your mercy to us. That we might give glory, that we might give honor to You for the great salvation so freely given. For we pray this only for the sake of Christ our Savior, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.